This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy Now, Transpositions, a safe place for trans communities, our friends and our allies to share our experiences. We'll discuss our issues, our challenges and our successes. We'll occasionally make you cry and hopefully we'll educate and inspire you. Welcome to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
Good evening. You are listening to Transpositions. This is Michelle, and I'm joined tonight by my guest, Al. How are you going, Al?
Good. Thanks, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. Al and I actually just met just recently and through some mutual friends, and we caught up for a lunch one day, and I thought, you know what? You're a pretty cool guy. Why don't you come and hang out with me on air? And love to get to know a bit more about yourself as well, Al. Al's a personal trainer. And quite a good-looking little trans man, if I don't mind saying, actually. So,
stop it.
Tonight, we're just having pretty much a yearly wrap-up, where we just discuss things that have happened throughout the year, some of the bigger news articles, some of the fun stuff we've laughed about, and just get some feedback from you guys and just have a pretty much casual chat. If you do want to go and send any messages or ask any questions, you can SMS us at 0427-JOY949, or you can email us at onair@joy.org.au. In between time, you can get all this on Facebook, just Transpositions on Facebook, and or Twitter us and ask questions and things like that. So, let's see. Let's get into the nitty-gritty. Alex, what do you say about a bit of a chat about the news?
Sounds good. Ooh.
Uplifting, informing, empowering. Joy 94.9.
So what do we have first? You had some things that kind of stood out to you that you wanted to talk about, didn't you?
I've got a couple of things. All right. So the first one that really stuck out to me, Michelle, was same-sex marriage.
That was a big one this year.
That was a massive one.
So that was big, like, in the US. That was big. That's big even to talk about now.
Yep.
So what was the stuff that stood out to you with that one?
Well, look, can I just say one thing, Michelle?
Yeah, yeah.
The US and Ireland, they've passed it. Australia, it's getting embarrassing. It's getting embarrassing.
But I just say, the problem with the US, though, and this is what the biggest problem is right now, yeah, especially with the elections going on. Sorry, I adjust my beautiful mic that's in my face so I can look at you in the eyes instead of, like, your shirt. The unfortunately, part over there is they're trying to turn it around. They're trying to abolish it. Or at the same time, there's still discrimination happening in the workplace that if you do come out, you got married, I'm gay, I'm whatever. Oh, I'm sorry. You're gay. You're dismissed. Yeah. And there's still the unfortunate side of that with over there, where in Ireland, they're abolishing the discriminatory laws there. So it's such a mixed bag.
It is. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, I just think, you know, if the US and Ireland can pass it, I think it's a question. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. I think it's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen. We might just have to wait a little bit longer, but I reckon it's definitely going to happen. But Australia, if we want to stop looking like a giant doofus to the rest of the world,
exactly,
I reckon it might be a good idea for our leaders to start just stop thinking about it and start doing it.
Well, and it's, you know, here in Australia, though, when you look at it, and this is, that's why it's so surprising here, because people are so accepting of the LGBT lifestyle.
Yeah.
you know, most of our friends are gay, they're comfortable with it. Now even someone who's, most people who are trans, it's like, oh, well, there you go. I mean, there's still discrimination issues, but not like there is in the US and other parts of the world.
Yeah, sure.
So, that's a big one. Maybe who knows this year? Who knows what will happen? So, fingers crossed, right?
2016. Bring it on, Australia. Let's do it.
Now, obviously, being a trans show, we have lots of trans things we like to talk about. I actually recently saw The Danish Girl with my best friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got a viewing of it. And I have to say that I definitely agree with who they chose to play Lily in this movie. I think Eddie Redmayne is an amazing actor, and you can tell he did his research.
Yeah, sure.
There were certain scenes in it that almost seemed confronting that, like he's standing there and he's like, you can see him like tucking, pulling back and standing in the mirror and the things he was dealing with and his emotions. And I'm not going to ruin it for other people, but it was such an emotional story.
Yeah.
And my friend, she was with me through the beginning of my transition. She's my best friend. And she stood there, looked at me. She was looking over at me each time certain things were happening. And she was, God, I was curious what you were thinking. And I said, I'm actually curious what you were thinking and wondering, did the same thing.
Yeah.
So I definitely, definitely recommend the movie. There's so many other films I want to review coming up soon. But definitely, I'd give it 4 stars. There were some things in there that I guess a lot of transition videos, I find there's certain tones that around selfishness and things, and there were certain things around surgeries that I struggle with, when, you know, at what point does surgeries become too much? So that's probably the part that really, probably if anything, some dysphoria kind of affected me a bit. So, you know, do be aware of that. But for me, definitely, I loved it.
Yeah, good stuff. So, 4 stars from Michelle.
4 stars from Michelle. what else do we have, sweetheart?
Well, there was one more that stood out to me, and this one I sort of felt it's a little bit closer to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, same-sex adoption.
Oh, okay.
Yes, passed in Victoria. So basically, the stats. So yeah. 31 upper house MPs voted in favour.
Okay.
And 8 voted against it.
Okay.
So... So it's great. It's great. But the fact is that it still needs to be, it still needs to go down to the lower house, thanks to the amendment of allowing religious exemptions. So.
Well, that's really good.
Well, so, allowing religious exemptions. I hate that.
I hate that too. You hurt so much in the States. So why is this such a personal thing for you? Like,
well, it's a personal thing because I was adopted myself. I was adopted from one of the very poor parts of Brazil. Basically, my biological dad left a few days after I was born, and my biological mum was too poor to support me and give me a good life. So basically, my adopted parents came along, and basically, if, you know, the life that I've been given, if people are denying gay couples to do the same thing for somebody else, so a disadvantaged child in another country, where do they get the balls to do that? How can they deny that? Yeah. How can they deny people that have
financial means
to do it, and the love and the want to do it and give somebody a good life, just because their religion is against it? You know, like, that we're talking about people's lives here. You're talking about creating a great life for another kid.
That's amazing. You know? See, and we need more people like you around. See, you're a perfect example. See what how you turned out. See, you know, you can say if people, you know, allowed it, then, you know, look where you could have been.
I think it's a simple concept.
It's a very simple concept. I'm still getting my fingers around the whole board and everything else. So Al's standing there, cross his fingers, because he knows I'm still learning all of my bits and bobs around here. So we were talking a bit about the news and what's going on around the country and stuff. What was one of the last ones we had? We had a few other ones popping around there, didn't we? Because so much happened this year. I think there was something standing out just recently within the news that we had. There was that couple. There was the couple from...
Oh, yeah.
Where were they from?
Wait, where are they from?
Oh, you have the paper there, do you?
New York.
Oh, were they? No. I think it's new articles out of New York. Let me have a look here. This is a couple in Ecuador. So they're both transgender and they are having a baby.
awesome, isn't it?
How awesome is that? So you don't hear that often. Normally you hear somebody who's a trans man and they've got a relationship either with a woman or or a cisgender woman, or they've got a relationship with a cisgender man, and then the trans man ends up being pregnant. Well, this is a transgender couple. And Diane Rodriguez, who, well, doesn't matter their birth name were, and Fernando Macado told the AP they decided to announce their pregnancy on social media to help break the myths about transsexuality. The couple say they both take hormones, but had not undergone gender reassignment surgery, which allowed them to get pregnant on their own. Well, Rodriguez, who's a LGBT activist, says they'd both grown tired of hearing the Roman Catholic community criticizing gays and homosexuals for adopting children. And based on back on what we were talking about just then. And they figured that announcing their pregnancy would be a contradiction for criticism because they can both give birth naturally. So that's actually quite exciting. So, yeah, hopefully we see more of that and more support for those sorts of things. What else do we have going on? There's just all kinds of, like, it's funny. When I first started coming on here, been like, what, a year and a half now. And when you're first looking at articles on the internet for stuff to talk about, usually it was somebody got killed or is a suicide or something like that. Now it's like there's another school, another person coming out, another transition here, a transgender couple having baby. like that's just amazing.
Yeah.
I love it. Did you see that movie Tangerine? Speaking of movies and stuff earlier, it was the one, I think it was shot all on an iPhone, and it had, the actress who played a what's her name? Maya Taylor, I believe her name was, and she was a prostitute playing in this movie, and it was played at the different different film festivals.
Yeah.
I went and saw it on the last film festival that came out, and really good film, quirky. Different, but I actually, again, you know, 3.5-4 stars. Usually I find that a lot of the themes in some of these films usually have like a darker side to it, and I don't know, I don't want to see so much of that. I kind of want to see something lighthearted. We need some new lighthearted stuff. If you're a filmmaker, please give us some lighthearted fun stuff, which I think there's one coming out, which sounds really good. But anyway, Caitlyn Jenner is actually backing this one for the Oscar nomination for Tangerine's Star. So you're talking Danish girl Eddie Redmayne versus, you know, coming up here. So, well, she's an actress, she's an actress, so, you know, we'll see what happens. That'd be great if both those can take out actor and actress.
I know, right?
For the Oscars. We'll be like, whoa. So that sounds like an interesting year. So on top of that, you know, you look at the wrap-up that came through on so many other things that affected the LGBT community. God, so many things around films and rights, and I think it was Kim Davis in the U.S., and we have new task force. There was the Stonewall movies. There was, God, there was just so many things. And I can only wait to see what happens this next coming year. So there you go. Be exciting. So, yes, here we go. What do you say? For the whole year, we're going to give it a bit of an applause for the whole year?
I reckon.
Yeah,
I
think definitely. So. Definitely. It's been a good year.
Yeah.
Good year. Nah, that's good. So, Al, hi.
Hi,
it's spots a lot on you, sweetheart.
Oh, shit.
Abby, are you finding the journey in here so far? Are you enjoying this?
I'm loving it. I'm shitting myself, but I'm loving it, to be honest.
There's a lot of people listening to you right now.
No pressure.
No pressure at all. Anyway, so yeah, so basically just a bit of a chat about yourself, and I'm just very curious. So, you know, a bit about you. Where'd you come from? Where are you going? You know, where do you start?
Well, I came swinging out of the jungles of Brazil.
Nice. Great. I'll start calling you Tarzan now.
like I said, I was adopted. I was born in Brazil, and then we actually lived in California for 5 years.
That's right.
Yeah.
San Fran, right?
San Fran.
Now, when did you leave San Fran?
I was about 6 years old when we came to Australia.
Okay.
So 1990, whatever.
You're pretty much Aussie now.
Yeah. But I used to have the American accent.
Yeah.
Like fully down. Like I'd be about like a 3-year-old walking around the house going, "Hey mom, I'm going to go take a bath now. I'm going to have a banana." And she's like, and my mom's real Aussie. She's like, "Oh, how cute."
I always try to get my little ones to have more of an Aussie accent just for the hell of it. Just, and I really try to feed it. So yeah, like when we leave and we say wave bye to their mom, I'm like, you'll see you knackers. You know? <Yeah. laughs> Just to be funny.
Yeah. You know what? Get them to say car park.
Car
Americans,
park.
Car pack.
Yeah.
Meet you in the car pack.
Yeah. Car park. Yeah. My kids are always doing like stars and trying to go and they're actually trying to mimic me more.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. All right. So you went to San Fran, spent some time as a Yank, came here as a bub.
Came here as a bub. And then, what can I say? So I went to an all girls school.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
It's so funny, I can't imagine that looking at you.
Yeah. it was good and bad. I won't say it's bad, but it was interesting.
It's like, now I don't have much, you know, obviously because I'm, you know, trans woman. I don't know what it's like being growing up as a girl struggling to be as a guy. I know the reverse. So when you were growing up in school, like what were some of the things you dealt with, or did you go more the feminine side? Did you always be more of a blokey kid or?
Oh yeah. I was always... I had long hair, and mm-hmm. I've got naturally curly hair, like a little mini afro. So yeah, when I grow it, it's just transforms into a little jungle on my head.
Nice.
So, yeah. So it was like a big bush. And I was always like the real sort of tomboyish one, was never feminine at all. I found it really difficult going to an all-girl school, you know, having to wear the dress or the skirt all the time. So I just pretended that I have some kind of special condition so that I could wear the sports... Like, you know, the sports uniform.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I found it really, really difficult to fit in, like, you know, socially for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody else, I didn't even know what trans was back then. I knew that there was something wrong, but, you know, being in the female body wasn't right, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't know what was going on. But,
did you go through a period we kind of felt like you needed to be a bit more female, or did you say, nah, bugger that, I am who I am?
Oh, look, I'll be honest. I tried it on for a little bit. I did try it on when I was about 17, 18. I thought,
yeah,
I can do this. You know, so I kind of, like, never with a dress or anything, but, you know, sort of more like socially, like I go out. I used to do bartending, for example, and, you know, every Friday night, you know, be on the bar at about 11, 12 o'clock at night, and then wearing, like, you know, like a tight t-shirt, tight pants and stuff like that.
showing the girls.
Yeah, showing the girls, you know. Didn't get the girls at all. All the guys would come up and they'd be like, "Are you very, very beautiful? I buy you a drink, or what's your name?" You know, I'm like, oh yeah, all right, I'll try it on. So I sort of batted my eyelashes at them and, you know, played the sort of the female role, and I'm like, oh, no, I can't do this. I'm sorry, I can't do it. But I did try to sort of fit into that girl role for a bit, but I just knew it wasn't for me. So
how old are you now?
I'm 27.
You're 27. So how long ago, when did you first start looking into saying that, okay, this isn't, I need to do this?
I started my transition when I was 24.
Mm-hmm.
But actually two of my ex-girlfriends picked it before I even did.
Oh, really?
Before I even knew what the word trans meant. I'd never met a trans person before. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't even know that you could do that in this country. So when I found out, it was like, mind blown. And I just thought, well, this is more than just a phase or something like that, so I might need to do something about it. So I did a bit of research. I found a friend of mine put me onto the Shed, FTM Shed. Awesome group. Fantastic group. And I just got some more information and I just decided, yeah, this is what's been going on underneath the surface for 27 or 20 odd years.
Mm-hmm.
Need to do it.
Oh.
I just knew. But it took two relationship breakups for me to realize.
I totally, totally understand. I actually had a girlfriend at one point who did it to me when I was like 22, 23. Okay. Ended my first marriage. We started dating and she's going, no, you're definitely, you need to be a woman. You need to go this. You need to go be in a relationship with someone as a woman. And, and you're standing there going, no, what are you talking about? No.
Yeah,
you start arguing back.
Yeah.
You are listening to Transpositions. My name is Michelle. You are joined as well by my guest, Al. Hello, Al.
Hello.
So Al has just come in to chat with me about our just what's going on for the year and wrapping up stuff for us and just chatting about some of the fun, exciting things. I'm also going to share a bit about Al himself and as I think he's such a positive person, and it's no wonder you're a personal trainer. I really think that's awesome. And now if anybody does have questions or comments, you can SMS us at 0427JOY949, or you can email us at onair@joy.org.au. All right, where were we? So you went to the FDM shed around 24.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you found it was a nice little home to hang out.
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, to be honest, I've only been to maybe a handful of the meetings, but just to get some basic info on what the story was and all that, and to meet some trans guys, to meet some trans people, I found it really, really, really helpful.
I've actually been meaning to go down and catch up with them and hang out there with some of the guys as well and hear some of the things they do, because I'm really inspired by the shed, the FDM shed, because they seem to be really organized and hold quite a few good events together, and we'll have to go down together. Sure. I'll come down with you sometime.
Yeah.
We'll go do that.
Sounds good.
So, yeah. When you went to transition, was there things you struggled with, things you were trying to push away, or try to change yourself, or where did you find the journey going for you?
Yeah, look, to be honest, the first 5 or 6 months, I was really trying to just erase the person that I was for 20-odd years.
Seems to be a common thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, in a way, it's kind of understandable. But at the same time, like, so I was in that place for a little bit, and I just wanted to completely erase that person, erase that identity altogether. Mm-hmm. And whenever I would hear my name, like, you know, a family member would mistake, you know, just by accident say my old name.
Yeah.
I'd get so pissed off. I'd be like, nah, what? What did you say? No, you know, and I get really, it was,
how dare you,
you know, but I sort of got to a point after I started to see some physical changes, and I got, the more changes I saw, the more comfortable I got. So it took me a good 10 to 12 months to really get settled. Mm-hmm. And once I got to that point, I had a massive mental turnaround. I stopped trying to separate and erase that person.
Yeah.
I stopped trying to say, oh, that person didn't exist. I was never that person. That was never my identity. And that's not me. So now, 2.5, almost 3 years into my transition, I don't separate them at all. The only things that I separate between myself now and myself before is physical. It's just the gender and just the name.
Yeah.
That's it. But I still have the same sense of humor. I still have the same morals, values, opinions.
That's great
everything.
To hear. That is so great to hear. I hear so many people who, I mean, even down to career, they try to go and say, well, no, like in my case, if I explained for me, it's like I'm transitioning and going, no, the IT stuff, that was Daniel. I'm not going to do Daniel or be Daniel or any of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm now going to be Michelle, and Michelle only does this, and I'm not going to go off the back of Daniel stuff. And it's just, I'm the same person.
Exactly.
Then that's just it. You need to, you know, and you'd be comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And like I was saying to somebody over the other day, I said, I'm really trying to create a new language around working with a friend of mine, Tina, and we had this amazing discussion, and it's more around integration. Mm. And so instead of saying transition, it's more around finding that integration of the better parts of yourself, so that not assimilation, totally different, but you just, you know, you are the same person. You're just trying to, you know, integrate the best parts of yourself to shine through.
Yeah.
And that sounds exactly what you've learned to do within yourself. So did you always want to do personal training?
I was in the gym since I was 16, been in the gym and boxing since I was 16. So I think, that was my first love.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a music teacher before I was a PT.
So I
got my degree in music before I even touched, or even went close to getting my PT qualification.
Okay.
That was my sort of second love in high school. But I did always have the gym and fitness and working out in my life. It took me a little while to realize that that's what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Do you like box to, like, you know, orchestra music or something? Or no, just
actually, no. I have a couple of times.
Really?
Yeah.
I just pulled that one out of the air. Really, that'd be awesome. Yeah. Actually, I'm picturing boxing ballet for some reason.
But you know what? Boxing, actually, you can relate it to dancing. Boxing is like dancing, yeah, because of the footwork, the rhythm, the timing, everything. It's actually like dancing. So you could box the bloody tango.
Wow, that'd be cool. All right, Alex, you got to take me into the gym. I think I've got the good body for the boxing. Maybe, yeah.
Oh, I think you do. You have got, and you're lucky, Michelle. I've got little twigs for arms. You have got nice, long, luscious arms.
Luscious arms.
So I'm just throwing that in the you've got the reach. So
I got the reach. So
oh,
just,
yeah, some stuff. Yep.
I'll give Rocky a go. So probably not that. Probably not that good.
But definitely, it's a date we're going to go down.
All right, sounds good. So we'll get that on video. We'll put that the thing. Michelle sweating out and getting the shit knocked out of her on video. God, that's hilarious. So have you? So when you do your personal training, are there certain people you focus on, or mostly women, mostly men? Have you helped personal training any trans folk?
I've helped a few trans folk. Not many, mm-hmm, probably a handful, because I've been working in just a regular mainstream gym for about 4 years now. Mm-hmm. So basically, the most of the clientele that I've helped is women. Have worked with a few men, but I seem to, probably because I've been a girl for, I had been a female for 24 years, I seem to naturally have that innate ability to relate better with women.
But you probably also know how to focus on the things they need to focus on because you've had to build those same muscles.
Yeah. I've sort of, you know my way around the anatomy a bit more, I guess.
So when you've done work with a trans person, how is training a trans body different to training a cis body?
Oh, good question. There obviously are significant differences and things that you have to take into consideration. Mm-hmm. So there are things that are different to say, training a cis person. But at the end of the day, trans people are still, like, we just have the regular human body, just with a few chops and changes here and there.
Yeah.
So you just have to pay a bit more attention to those specific areas. So, because if you think about it, say somebody that's a 30-year-old trans man, for example, and they've been transitioning for 3 years, for example, they've had estrogen, so the dominant female hormone, active dominant hormone through their body right from birth. They've developed with that hormone all the way up to 27. Mm-hmm. They've evolved with that hormone flowing through their veins, and testosterone is unfortunately the
I love the hand gestures.
I talk with my hands.
No, that's what you're doing. They've evolved.
No, these haven't evolved. We're
discussing the pectoral region of the anatomy. Around evolvement.
I'm still touching them. Okay. What was I saying?
What estrogen has done to the body over 30 years? Shit. Yes.
Okay. On track. Yeah. Okay. And so you've got to think that, like, you've got to be quite black and white and a bit realistic about it. So you've only had testosterone in your system for 3 years. Versus estrogen for 27 years.
Exactly.
So you have to kind of put that take that into account. Mm. And it also depends on what the goal is. So if the trans guy, for example, wants to get big and bulk up, again, it also comes down to a case by case basis. It depends how long they've been on hormone replacement therapy for. Mm-hmm. If they've only been on, say, testosterone for 5 months, 6 months, seven, 8 months, they're, unfortunately, the muscle growth that they want, if they want to get really, really big, like the Hulk or something, they're not going to see it. The chances of them seeing that, or the chances of them getting as big as a cis guy would, are very, very small. Because basically the hormones that they are now taking haven't had enough time to override the ones that have been dominant, the one that's been dominant for 20-odd years in their system. But apart from that, train exactly the same. So if you want to lose weight, you eat properly. You need to basically be in a calorie deficit, and up your cardio, up your training, up
intake,
your weights
outtake.
And all that stuff. If you want to get big, opposite, you need to be in a calorie surplus. Up the weight training, kind of minimize the cardio a little bit. It's the same. The training is the same. It's just the way that you approach it, and it's just the things that you take. You need to take those things into account, and you need to be quite black and white about it. That's amazing.
Wow, I'm learning so much here. Hello, Al, my lovely guest, who's given me a bit of a his story and give me some advice on weight loss, personal training, things like that. And if you do have any questions or comments or something you want to share with us, you can SMS us at 0427-JOY949, or you can email us at onair@joy.org.au. Now, hold on. Oh, we got some messages coming through here. So Al, have you come across any issues where trans people have had issues at gym change rooms or even on the gym floor?
I haven't experienced or seen any issues.
Okay.
We did actually have, about a year ago, we had a trans guy who was about 30, 34 years old come into the gym. He was only there on a 7-day trial. We never saw him again, but, he came in and he was very sort of really, really shy character. And at first he didn't say, he was filling out his health and fitness, all that stuff. And he didn't say that he was trans. And you know what? It actually doesn't make a difference. We don't need to know that. They don't need to tell us that.
And this is a trans man.
This is a trans guy. Yep.
Okay.
But he just wanted to tell us. He was filling out his papers and then he said, oh, by the way, and he said it very, very quietly. So you could tell he wasn't comfortable with it. He said, oh, excuse me, by the way, I'm transgender. I'm a trans man. And I was like, shit, awesome, you know, on the inside. I wasn't,
yes!
Yeah. But then the receptionist was like, okay, that's cool. Thanks for telling us. That's great. And then he said, oh, we're about to the bathrooms. And we said, oh, the guys' toilets are just upstairs to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, no, where are the disabled toilets? And I'm like, and I said, okay, the disabled toilets are downstairs. And then I didn't say it, but I thought, you know, dude, you don't have to use the disabled ones. You can go into the guys. That's what you are. Go into the bloody guys' toilets. Do it. And if anyone's got a problem, flip them the bird and tell them to stick something where something doesn't shine. That's what I would do. But he never had a problem. I didn't hear of any negative things happening. But he did. It was his choice. He still chose to go to the disabled toilets.
Mm-hmm.
When I transitioned like at work. I was really scared about it because I thought I wasn't sure about the reaction.
Yeah.
The reaction was absolutely beautiful. It was positive. So the first time that I went into the guys' toilets was like the most daunting thing ever because I saw them like at least three members in there that I'm quite friendly with.
Yeah.
And then so for the first time going in there, seeing them in there, me in there, and it's like, oh dear, this is weird. And there was no issue. There was about 10 seconds of awkward silence. And then after that, they were just like, oh, hey, Al, so what class is up next? And then it was just...
Okay. Yeah.
So I've never personally experienced any kind of negative experience. If anything, it's been positive. But I think, in a nutshell, what it comes down to is your attitude. If you walk into... And it depends where you go as well. If you go out, I don't know, somewhere in the shady parts of town and you walk in and you are a bit insecure about it, you're a bit unsure of yourself, whatever, then you might, I mean, there's idiots everywhere.
People will pick up on that.
So it does depend where you go. But generally, I haven't had any bad experiences. And it, like I said, it's your attitude. If you own it and if you just act like you don't give a stuff and you don't need to disclose it. You don't need to tell people. Because at a gym, it doesn't make a difference.
No.
Like, at least in the terms of going to the bathroom.
I'm the same. Like, I go to a gym here in the city. And, you know, my lunch break and whatever, I go down or maybe after work, quick, run the treadie.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I did the disabled toilet because I was too afraid to go into the women's change room.
Yeah.
And I had the gals at reception. They knew immediately from the beginning when I signed up. I was very open, very honest. I was, and they asked me, look, you know, it's very personal, but we're curious. For the sake of being in there with changing and taking your clothes off, have you had the surgery? I said, no, I haven't had any lower surgery done. They said, no, that's fair enough. And they didn't want to offend, but it was, I think it was a very important question to ask with going into there. So they're at least aware.
Yeah.
They walked, very much practically walked me in holding my hand. Help me assess the situation, show me where the little change cubicle is.
Yeah.
And if that, I go in, I use the showers, everything. I just make sure I cover up when I'm coming in and out of the showers and I go in the cubicle change and get in and out. No one says anything. No one looks the other way. In and out, happy. No problem.
Yeah.
But I think, like you said, it depends on where you're going to go. If you go to more of a bigger franchise or something, it might be a bit better. If you go to a no-name in the middle of the regional areas, you might have an issue unless you know somebody. So, it's just, I think that's how it is. Oh, another message. Everyone's coming in. Oh, Michelle, what has been your biggest personal highlight for the year? Oh, Christ. my personal highlight. Oh, there have been some struggles. Look, I'm coming up to 2 years on January 9th. It'd be my 2 year anniversary or 2 year birthday, whatever.
Yeah.
But I've had a hell of a journey. But this past year, the best part was getting into, getting employed properly, with an employer who accepted me completely. I think, God, there's so many things. I probably the biggest highlight was going to the college over Newton. And yeah. I got to speak to the Safe School Coalition, the kids, and sitting with this trans girl who was the beginning of transition.
Yeah.
We sat for about maybe an hour, 2 hours, and then in the counselor's office. And here I am talking to her, like, she's looking at me, I'm looking at her, I'm like, this was like talking to my 16-year-old self. Yeah. This was trippy.
Yeah.
And here I was, what she was wanting to be, and I was like, oh my God, what do I do here? So, what about you, Al? A big highlight of the year.
Oh, geez. Look, I think for me, it's even more of a mental shift in the positive direction.
Mm-hmm.
I've just become really, really, really at peace and happy with myself. But again, like I said earlier, I've just learned to, I've really become comfortable with not separating the two, you know, identities, not erasing who I used to be and who I am now. So if anything, for this year, I've really gotten comfortable with just being the same person, bar the gender and the name. That's it. So for me, it's been a win. This year has been an absolute cracker.
I love hearing that. All right, well, we'll be back shortly to have a bit of a wrap up for the show. You are listening to Transpositions. Talk to you shortly. We're cool for the
summer. Want to be seen and heard at all the big LGBTIQ events this summer? Become a 94 Days of Summer Joy sponsor and have your message heard by a potential 341,000 listeners each month via the FM dial, more streaming online and via our Joy app. We can get you on air and online fast. It's easy. Call Joy's sponsorship team right now on 1300-JOY-949 or email sales@joy.org.au. You'd be surprised how little it costs to support the voice of our community and share your message. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
It is at that time we do a bit of a wrap up. Now, I think there is one last little message there. The question is, do either of you two have what do you have for New Year's resolutions, Al? What are your resolutions?
You know, to be honest, I've never been one for New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
But you know, if I had to pick one, I don't know. Do yoga.
I'm with you on that one.
That's it. Just do yoga.
Get my ass back to gym a little bit more, more on the treadmill, and I definitely want to get into the yoga as well.
Yeah.
Maybe some Bikram, sweat it all out.
Some Bikram, yeah. What about you, Michelle? What's your...
I'm pretty much the same. I just think finding that bit more of a center, just discovering more about myself in the journey. I think I've done so well with all of this that there's just... onward and upward from here. No more downness, no more flatness. Just pick it up and keep going.
That sounds good.
So
that sounds great.
Well, Al, thank you so much for coming in and hanging out with me tonight.
Thanks for having me, Michelle. It's been great.
And you'll definitely have to come back and hang with me some more.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, if you do miss tonight's show, you can get us on our podcast on joy.org.au/transpositions, or you can download our podcast via the Apple Podcast Store. If you do have struggles listening to us via the radio, the normal analogs, you can download our app via the Google Play Store and via the Apple App Store and stream it live via there or via, you know, our normal joy.org.au listen live. We are on Instagram and on Facebook and Twitter. So get us on Facebook, facebook.com/transpositions. And we post different articles, different things going through there. But if you also have questions for us, please send us a message. This is your show as well. We love to go and share content with you and talk about the content that you want to hear. Or if there's things that you want to share or things that you're an author, you're an artist, you're whatever. We want to hear from you. We want to share your excitement or your things you've dealt with or things you want to share with the rest of us. So everyone have a wonderful holiday. Happy New Year. We will get you in the new year. We've got some fun, exciting people already lined up to chat with you then. So Al, have a happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, Michelle.
And take care, everyone. See you then.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.